Okay, there we go. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to hopefully finish up the first episode of Hotel. Sorry, like a lot, it keeps happening. We haven't even gotten to the babies playing Tetris yet. And I'm joined to talk about the babies playing Tetris by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team, how's it going?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, so as you know, let in, we gotta get moving on this. This episode's already like such a pile. Yeah. Last thing we had was the mom calling the divorced dad detective and being like, I made you both the quinoa salad that you like or whatever. And then he hangs up and they go, let's get sushi, huh? And then they... what happens next is kind of what's wild. They don't like order sushi to their house.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and get sushi at like what is ostensibly like 1 or 2 a.m. based on how time has like gone throughout this episode.
Yeah, this child who was getting ready for bed roughly 14 hours ago in the episode. They've decided, no, she doesn't need to go to bed, actually. I'm a good dad. I'm going to take her to a sushi restaurant, which, I don't know, like, I guess a small, like, nitpick, but, like, I don't know what they're trying to get across here. They make, like, a big deal about it. Like, it's their special thing. Like, oh, yeah, like, you want to go do this thing we always do behind mom's back? And, like, it would maybe work better if... this was a show just about John and his kid, but it's not. It has like 55 subplots. So like we don't really have time for this weird like, oh, we're going to be friends behind mom's back. Like we're going to have a little club where we exclude mom. Because that's like such a common dynamic in so many like TV shows is like, oh, well, yeah. Mom's the no fun one and dad's the fun one and we're going to do fun things behind our serious doctor mom's back and that's going to cause more tension in this already very strenuous marriage.
And like, I think they want us to be endeared to the detective, you know, the dad in this situation, but like, I don't know, make him charming instead.
How yeah, it's totally weird, the whole thing, too, where it's just like, I don't want to talk to him. Because that's usually like, yeah, he did something bad that we don't know. Or, you know what I mean? That's usually not...
We're right, going to find out what that is in just a little while. And it is very funny that the show and his wife blame him for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in case you guys forgot, his wife... is a doctor who makes house calls in the huge year of 2015. And she had to go treat some twins with whooping cough. So we're about to like, I'm not going to jump ahead to say like what happens, but like they will end up going to where they think this like mom is at in a little bit. And it is so blatantly obvious when they arrive that there is no one matching the description of two twins with whooping cough, even close to the premises, that it is just a wonder that they enter the premises at all, given the information they were given by the quote-unquote wife. Anyway, yeah, so before we can get to that, we have to go back to the hotel. It's hotel time. That's where a lot of things will happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Iris,
I'm realizing may have skipped past the Swedes getting meatballed. Yeah.
I know what the confusion is.
We're at the right spot.
No, you know what? No, but the problem is the next thing in your notes is called sushi time. So I think when we talked about where we're starting from, I did the same thing where I was scene 6, second bullet point, but then I saw sushi time later. That's okay. Yeah, yeah. No, but you're right. We're still talking about the right things and everything. If you go to the third bullet point, yeah. So we're
because
okay.
Word. Even though we have 45 subplots going on, them agreeing to go get sushi and then going to go get sushi are established in two separate scenes.
That's exactly. This is
Yeah. Like, they have time for this, is what I'm saying.
It's
and
so
they don't
convoluted.
Have time for this. They don't have time for this.
Like, we start at two different spots of the notes, and it's the same thing. But anyway,
and
yeah, okay.
And the only part of it that is done by either of those scenes is establishing that the dad and daughter go get sushi, which is unrelated to literally anything else that's happening in the episode. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's no evil Maki role, but like back at the hotel, Iris comes in with a food cart in this like, yeah, this completely empty room, which is like, I don't even know what, like a done, like an undone conference. I don't even know. But it's just like this big empty room. And the two Swedish girls are in these like cages, but with neon lights, because like they insist that neon lights are scary this season and they're not
good for vampires, I guess. I don't know, because Lady
suppose.
Gaga has a ton of them, so like the implication is like it's fine.
Imagine if it was like a strip club, but like evil. I think it's like part of it. They're like it's like kind of sexy too, right? And it's like not really.
Yeah,
no.
I feel like I'm in a bar, like a dive bar maybe, but like evil dive
yeah.
bar. So,
on the part of the Vegas Strip where, like, they might still bring you a drink for playing on the penny slots, yeah.
And, yeah, and then Iris is like, you dumb Swedish meatballs, look what I found, and you guys were gonna have a big party. You got Xanax, Klonopin, some other pink pearls, which is, pills, which is like, wow, they flew with all of that? That's quite a gamble. Okay.
My interpretation of it, because she just has Xanax and Klonopin, like just those two things, which are both like anti-anxiety medications. I read it as Iris, which we will find out in like 20 minutes from now, who has like a reason to hate drugs, just saw regular prescriptions that normal people would have for flying, more than likely. And was like, nasty, nasty drug girls. Nasty drug Swedish meatball girls.
Yeah.
Stinky.
I say that's fair. That makes sense, actually. Yeah.
I was even assuming it like it might have been like being like, yeah, you were going to get fucked up and party on this. Because like at that period in time, people had that fear with Xanax, which like Xanax is not like a party drug, I wouldn't say. Unless, you know, you're like partying on the couch exclusively.
Yeah, taking a real big nap, a real, real big nap. One time, yeah. Fun anecdote, when I was like 17, the doctor gave me Xanax, a weirdly high dose, to like ease my nerves before a huge martial
anxiety.
Art. Yeah, before a huge martial arts tournament. And I took it for the first time before one of my very large
fights. Oh, that's
fights.
Not fair. That gives you like +2 physical defense.
No.
Like, you can't feel it.
Effect, yeah.
It was a huge debuff because I did, and I'm not joking, fall asleep in the middle of my fight.
No, that's too much.
Sometimes
I forget you're like a really little lady. That is kind of a power move, though.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have to have won at that point, but yeah. Like, you know.
Fortunately for me, it was an exhibition match because I was fighting a man, but like.
That's even better. Yeah.
I did just fall asleep standing up, which was pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, not like really a party. I wasn't like having a good time. I was just really sleepy.
There's a character that does that in KOF. That's cool. You're like a King of Fighters. That's rad.
Oh my
just take
God.
A little nap.
Imagine you're fighting a lady in an exhibition match. She just falls asleep mid-fight. Like, you're just, like, incel by it. Imagine.
I'm like, I'm out.
Point.
I'm done.
Yeah. Wow.
It's either, like, I'm either very disrespected or she's charging some kind of meter that I don't know about and I don't want to be the first person to be on the receiving end of her dumping it.
That's fair. Yeah.
Them, like, nervously looking over their shoulder to their coach, like, can she do that? What's she doing? I didn't know she was going to do that.
Is
she
charging
a
bar?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's doing the Akuma thing, but it takes her a while. Oh no.
Oh no. Oh no, I let Liz get her ult.
No, I'm so broken. That sucks. I'm gonna get nerfed.
Yeah,
all that is to say, Xanax and Klonopin, neither of those are really, like, some people do mix them with other drugs, like in small quantities when they are.
Yeah.
Doing drugs for recreational
purposes. It's not like
cocaine,
though.
But yeah.
Right, where it's like exclusively for party time. Yeah.
And these two girls did fly international today, which is something very commonly that people are very commonly prescribed both of those medications for. And then she says, some other pink pills, which could literally be anything. It could be, like, meclizine for, like, nausea. It could be anything. But, yeah, like, she wheels it out on a cart. And remember, I know that this is our third episode, but remember, this is still the first episode of the TV show. Last time we saw these ladies was roughly 10 minutes ago, and one of them was getting eaten by a bunch of children. She's fine.
She got better. Yeah. She got better. Yeah.
She's good. She's not even, like, messed up. She's just, like, fine. They're in their underwear. I think that they were... This is one of the many times where they're almost certainly just trying to rip off Hostel, probably specifically Hostel 2. And they were like, what if we had hot ladies in their underwear that were traveling to a different country they were unfamiliar with, and now they're in, like, a torture device for rich people.
I had enough at Hostel 1, so I didn't go back for seconds, but so I'll have to trust you on that
one. Well, that's the plot of Hostel 2, is what if some hot ladies took a trip to a place they're unfamiliar with and then got Hostel 1'd, but they were underwear?
Some Swedish meatballs got sauced. Yeah.
No.
What if torture porn was a little more porny? And it's like, I'm good. Nah, it's fine. But
what if Jigsaw was sexy? What if we made the little puppet that Jigsaw sends out sexy?
I believe what you mean is, what if we made Jigsaw sexier?
Yeah. Oh, what if we made Billy the Puppet just a little bit hotter? Gave him, like, some thigh highs?
I want to play a game with your balls. Like, I don't know, Jigsaw.
Relax, John Kramer. Yeah. So then Kathy Bates starts doing a very confusing thing and whips out a blender and starts making a really gross smoothie of oysters, chicken livers, kidneys, and wine.
Yeah.
What is this?
She liver kings them. This she, like, liver kings him.
It's like Fear Factor. What the hell is this, though? It's, like, not scary. Yeah. Like,
it's legitimately, like, so Liver King was this this influencer who was very obviously taking every steroid imaginable, which later was revealed to be about $10,000 worth of steroids a month, which, like, Jesus Christ, man. But what he would claim is that he was doing a primal diet and primal living, and he just ate a bunch of raw, like, organs, because then at the end, of course, he would be like, oh, and, you know, if you want that but you don't want to take them, here's my supplement line you can buy.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what she's doing here, is trying to be like, here's all the animal organs that give you superpowers and cleanse out your drugs out of your system. It's like really dumb. Also, a bunch of those organs have nasty tasting blood in them. Source, I've eaten them. They wouldn't be good to make it, like, a vampire wouldn't be like, yum yum, this makes the blood tasty. Source, I taste the blood, I know.
But what do you call it, and then Sally comes in and she's like, Iris, don't be so shitty to these Swedish meatballs. Well, she doesn't say it, she's like, well, knock it off or whatever. And they argue, and Sally's like, you know, Iris, you've been complaining for 20 years. And Iris is like, well, Sally, you're the reason I'm here. And then she gives her the oyster smoothie and to the Swedish women, so they don't taste like shit.
One meal would not fix that, just to be clear. Like, you can't just like eat one meal and then, like, you're better for eating. I mean, I assume, given how that's not how it works with livestock that we eat, that's also not how it works with eating people. I'm again
also
guessing.
it takes more than just one meal to, like, stop feeling like shit if you've been eating like shit for, like, a week. Source, I have eaten like shit at many periods of my life.
And then then Iris is like, I gotta go feed that thing in room 33, and I'm just like, is this another number I have to remember for this stupid hotel?
Me taking notes with my little notepad, writing down numbers, like, what they're gonna mean something at the end. They're gonna be like some kind of cipher at the end. It's gonna pay off. It's gonna be good.
Like, I hate this season so much. Like, scrolling back through your notes, I'm just like, I don't want to even look. I think it was 64 before, but it's not.
Yeah, it was 64 or 34. It's not 33. They say go feed that thing in room 33, and I don't think we have gone to room 33 yet. So that is a new unidentified thing in room 33 that we have not seen yet, I guess.
All right. This needs to get a lot stupider than it is, okay?
So, thank God.
Yeah, so Sally's like, do you know what this room used to be? Because, like, of course they don't. It's, like, the most obnoxious rhetorical question. You know, they're not from the country. This is their first time in the hotel. They're being tortured. And they're like, and of course the answer is, this is the hotel puppet theater. So,
you know, the thing they all have. The thing every hotel has.
When you check in, usually, and they're like, and the gym's on the floor next to the puppet theater. So, yeah, they used to do puppet shows there. And then she lets one of the women out, and she's like, run, or whatever, and she runs away in her underwear. I didn't see Martyrs either, but according to the notes, that's also a scene from Martyrs.
Yeah, they shoot it like the scene. I don't recommend watching Martyrs if you're I don't know, goofy. Don't watch Martyrs if you're not, like, someone who watches a lot
it's
of
one
horror
of those.
Movies.
It's one of those hard-to-watch horror movies. I know of it.
Okay,
It's not like a Serbian film where it's like, oh, you gotta watch it. It's for the most hardcore people. But it is, like, a really rough watch. But one of the, like, notable scenes from Martyrs and, like, the scene that everybody who has seen it knows and can recognize is specifically the opening and kind of closing scene where one of the main characters is doing this exact thing, shot from the exact angle of running away
in
their
underwear
from their pursuer.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only to be foiled in the exact same way almost by their pursuer.
Well, this time Lady Gaga catches her in the lobby and uses her, like, long fingernail blade to, like, slit her throat.
Her coke nail.
Yeah.
Yeah, her coke nail that is also a weapon. It's for cocaine and weapons. Yeah.
I feel like I don't know blades, but you can't do this. I don't think, you know, I don't know. It's just so tiny and whatever.
I think this is just a huge fumble on the part of the lady who dies, frankly. Like, huge fumble. If this happens to you, you kind of deserve it, frankly.
Also, do you think this scene would be improved if instead Lady Gaga, you know, walks in front of her and catches her and then quick draws a katana and cuts her head off and then flicks off the blood and resheathes her katana? Do you think that would be better?
I won't say no. I won't say yes right now. Let me think about it a little. Sketch it out. But
I think it would be cooler if we just are looking at the lady and then it turns to Lady Gaga and she's already sheathing the katana. And then that lady just falls over.
Her head just falls off. Yeah.
Or, I think that would kick ass.
Or, like, she does, just pulls out a big Rambo knife and just, like, to hell with, like, elegance or whatever and just, like, basically just cuts her throat and it's like... Yeah, I did that. That's fine. But
anything. Just grabs her face and throws her real hard. Like, anything, honestly.
Or
the
just,
little
like, a
nail
Jedi,
thing is kind of dumb.
A little Jedi mind trick, a vampire mind trick. Like, that would have been cool, too. Like, just putting her to sleep. Punching her dead in the nose would have been cooler than what happens.
That's the problem with her, though. She's not, like, really a vampire. She's just, like, some stupid lady who likes blood and has, like, a sharp nail. it kills me. It's like, just like Elizabeth, and it, but, you know, just, you know, human. Like, oh, all right, thanks. Sorry.
Yeah. Imagine how much more threatening she'd be in every scene if she would just be gently handling her katana.
I think you've got me, won me over. Yeah. That is
yeah. Way more threatening of a character if you can hear the jangle of her katana.
Now we have organically arrived at the actual second half of the sushi time. Like, we've
now
the previous mention of sushi time was just them discussing getting sushi behind the mom's back. Now we are actually at sushi time. Again, the show has time for this for some reason, even though it has taken us 3 episodes to get through the first episode because it is so full of nonsense. They're like at the sushi place at like midnight, I presume, or like 1 a.m. The kid is like, I don't know his kid's name. Anyway, we'll get there, I guess. She'll say it at some point. and she's like, is this fish from Japan? Which is like a weird thing for even a kid to think, I guess, at that age, but whatever. And he's like,
also, they're in California, right?
Uh-huh, they're in California. Yeah. So why would it be? Why
would they not know that, like, California fish, like, comes off the coast, that you're right next to, you're on the coast? Okay.
Dumb kid. Dumb 7-year-old. Very stupid. Very stupid 7-year-old. And he's like, why would you ask me if this fish is from Japan? And she's like, the radiation? And I'm like, this kid knows about the radiation, but not that this fish would just be gotten like a mile away.
Okay. Get him xenophobic early.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta... Like, yeah. Normal 7-year-old concerns. The radiation poisoning of my sushi that I got at midnight with my dad to spite my mother.
Yeah, pulling this guy's daughter aside and asking, hey, do you know what the word chemtrails means? And then reporting to Child Protective Services.
Yeah. And then as they're eating, she's like, now seems like a great time to exposition dump to the audience. And by that, I mean, now seems like a great time to bring up my dead brother, who my dad is very clearly upset about. And then as they have like a little discussion and she's like, it goes from, I think my fish might be radioactive because it came from Japan, to straight into, I think I'm forgetting what my brother's face looks like. Because he's been gone so long, which is wild, segue, which that is on brand for a child for what it's worth. But like,
yeah,
for us, the audience, because they wrote this character, this isn't a real child. So like they wrote this character to be this way.
You're not here, American Horror Story. This is way too heavy for you. You know what I mean? Like, this is me, the writing coach, saying, like, we're next year, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, let's go back to giving Swedish girls, like, disgusting smoothies and having them run. Like, you know, let's not, you know.
Yeah,
like,
this is,
I don't know how to
thing.
Deal with my grief at this age. Like, nah, yeah. You're not doing that.
Like, the grief, child loss and, like, sibling loss grief is, like, maybe something that could be more well and delicately explored if we didn't have 9 plots already in episode 1.
You got Lady Gaga in your pasties. You know what I mean? Like, here's your trophy. Don't hurt yourself.
There's weird little babies in suits playing Tetris on stained glass windows. You can't be having that in the same episode as this.
Exactly.
And one of those babies is the dead brother. So it comes full circle. Right as she's like, I think I'm for, like, she's like, is this fish radioactive? I think I'm forgetting what my brother's face looked like because he's been gone so long. As that's happening, the dad's about to respond about the, I guess, like, she also mentions, like, that all of the pictures in the house have been taken down, which is, like, weird. But again, grief is complicated and this show is not ready to deal with that. He gets a text from his wife at the table. This is where things are about to get insane. They do the thing that I hate personally. This is just a pet peeve. They're not the only ones that do this. Lots of TV shows and movies do this. But they do the thing where, like, instead of actually making it look realistic, a blank text message chain starts from his wife. And I don't know if they know this. That's not how it works. People don't just start a new thread of text messages with their loved ones.
They didn't want it to be like, hey, can you get some peanut butter next time you're at the 7-Eleven, followed by help. Yeah. Which, like, I get it.
But it's more realistic. Anyway.
You're right.
The message from his wife is literally just an address, and it says, help. And instead of, like, acting on that right away.
Question mark.
Yeah. He just calls her, and then it goes to voicemail. He, like, sits at the table for another, like, minute while trying to call her. And I'm like, hey, man. If she just sent you an address and the word help, she probably can't call you. There's probably something. What if she was being chased and hiding and you just gave her away by making your phone ring? Like, you are an idiot. You're a detective? You're a cop?
I got to be a little fair. I would call. Because there's like a 50-50 chance it's my wife going like, no, I need you to pick up a couch from here. I talked about it. I'll just give the guy $60 or whatever. And it's like, but I need context, honey. But, you know, whatever. Sorry, I'm just griping now. Anyway.
Can't live with him.
Subscribe to my podcast, Ball and Chain. Yeah. Anyway.
The old Ball and Chain. Yeah. And so he calls her. She doesn't answer. It goes to voicemail. It goes to her voicemail, to be clear. It goes to her voicemail. So it definitely was her phone. And then that's when he decides, okay, well, now we have to go to that address. It's important that we go to this address now. And when he gets there, there's already another cop there, which is And we're going to find out in a second that he's being baited by the killer person, and that, like, they allegedly cloned his wife's phone. And I'm like, but there's already cops there. So, like, there has to have been a different way than pretending to be his wife. You could have just said to go to that address.
They would have already let him know. Yeah, they could have just, like, Like, he's a cop. He's a detective. They might have just told him to go there.
Yeah, he already did that one time. He already was like, hey, I'm going to do a murder at this place. You should go to it. Like, why did he do a weird bait? Like, ooh, I'm going to trick him to come here. Like, why? There's already cops there. It's very, I guess, to establish that the killer is capable of cloning phones. They do that in any movie where there's like Scream or Jigsaw. They're like, oh yeah, we need you to know that there is a method that this person has of pretending to be using someone else's phone, just so that there's no question in the future as to whether or not he could potentially trick somebody. We need you to know they're capable of doing that. And it's like, all right, well, you could have just addressed that when it became relevant, and I would have still believed you just as much, which is none, but I would have believed it just as much as this. And he gets there, and the cop is already there, and he's like, oh, it's pretty empty in there. And it is. It's completely empty. And he's like, he being the detective, John, not the cop that's already there, is like, hey, cop that's already here and has already been here and, like, checking this out, you watch my daughter. And I'm like, how about nobody watches your daughter and you just leave her in the car? Like, how about you go do cop stuff? But no, he leaves the cop there, who goes, and this is why it was a bad idea, because that cop hears some brush rustling like 5 feet away and then runs after it like a dog who saw a rabbit in the brush.
Yeah.
Which, they're only there. They don't know why they're there yet. The only reason they're there is because the alarm is going off. So what, like, they don't know if it's a break-in. They don't know that there's going to be violence in there. What does he think it is? What does he think the thing in the brush is? They're not, like, looking for somebody. They don't
squirrel.
Think, yeah. I guess so.
Squirrel with a bauble. He might have gotten, like, a diamond, like a jewel.
He's so excited.
Yeah. Then. Yeah.
But John goes in the house and is, like, looking around the big, empty, powerless, dark house. It's, like, a huge industrial-style house. It's a massive house. And it rings, and it's not Jigsaw. It's that guy who keeps calling him.
Why wouldn't you pick up my calls earlier? We've been over this. I need you to pick up my calls, man. Come on.
Man, I had to pretend to be your wife to get you to answer me. This is fucked up.
So lame. I knew you'd be less cool once you got married, bro. And it's not Jigsaw. It's the killer who is, blatantly doing, like, a Jigsaw, like, truly egregiously doing a Jigsaw thing.
Yeah.
Ghostsaw,
right.
I can't even remember what he's telling him. He's just like, yeah, I did the killing. It's bad. I'm going to do another because that's, like, what I do.
That really sums him up, although, honestly, yeah. It's just like, well, I don't know how to taunt you exactly, but is this a taunt?
I'm still workshopping this, I'll be honest. I'm still workshopping my...
you'll never catch me, killer. John. Yeah, like, it's just...
Then his daughter gets out of the car because she's outrageously... I guess brave is like like her failing is she's too brave and not being attended to. So she just gets out of the car and like walks inside and is like, oh, killer here, huh? Yeah, I might as well wander around in there. Seems good.
Kids in this series love doing that. What's his name from Cult was doing it all the time. Ozymandias. Like he was always like, oh, murder across the street. Let me just wander on into that house. I love doing that.
Wouldn't one of the cops be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't let that kid into the crime scene where there's like a guy, you know, and guns are drawn and, she's already in there. You know, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she'll be fine. She'll find like something to play with. It'll be fine. This will not be a problem later. Spoiler alert, it won't be for some reason. They will decide it's not. John points his gun at a man wearing a top hat at the end of the hallway. Who I guess we're supposed to think is the killer. I don't know. And that is immediately cut short by going back to his kid, who's wandering through a different part of the house, because, again, huge house. And she finds two dead men strung up in, like, ranked competitive sex room, where there's two massive queen beds and two black leather couches facing each other. Insane bedroom, frankly. We don't get to know anything about this like we did with the guy who was stuck inside of the lady. This is insane. This is a very insane layout, even if these two dudes weren't dead in it. It's just an insane room.
Multiple beds per room is like for like children in barracks. And that's really about it. Yeah, maybe like a hotel. But just two full beds. Wild.
And two leather couches, each facing one of the beds in a giant weird warehouse style concrete room. Just bizarre. Just a bizarre. And two random dead guys that we don't know. And we will probably not learn anything about, frankly. But that is enough of that, because it is time for more Dead Son. It's Dead Son time. In case you forgot, that guy, the detective, has a dead son. And that's what this is going to be about. And now it's flashback time. And they're at a carnival. I'm sorry, it's not meant to be. This is an incredibly funny sequence. It is an insanely funny sequence.
No, this is funny in the same way that it's like funny in what's the name of that game? Not Indigo Prophecy. Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
Where there's another scene of a father losing his child in a particularly fucking stupid situation and just being like, Sean! Jason! Sean! And it's like supposed to be this like, you know, this moment of like, the worst horror a parent could face, except it's like, I mean, but they like, it's like really their fault. You know?
It's really their fault and simultaneously not their fault. Like,
or not at all. Yeah, like, it, depending on the situation. Like, the one in Heavy Rain in particular is just like, he's walking in a hall and the kid like runs off and then gets hit by a car instantly. And it's like, well, come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or he's just like, I can't find my wallet anywhere. That kid, he's see him up ahead. Like, what the, you know. Get back to the clown. Whatever, anyway.
This will not be the, I think, I don't remember if the other time this happens. I think the other one, I cannot remember off the top of my head, but this happens specifically in another season of American Horror Story that we've already talked about, where this exact similar like setup will happen. They seem to think if you look at anything other than your child for more than a second and a half,
they're gone, they're done,
RIP, that kid's gone. You might as well start planning the funeral, because if you're not looking at them at all times, they will spontaneously combust.
It was one of the bonus episodes. It's the one where the kid went wild in the woods.
Yeah, it is that one.
Yep. But
that kid got a cooler outcome than becoming a vampire kid, though. Yeah.
And technically the one we did recently about the back rooms.
Oh, that's true.
Technically.
Yeah, you guys should subscribe to the Patreon so you can hear about all of the kids that go missing if you're not looking at them at all times. The like the little cat in the box situation.
As soon as it's not observed, that kid's gone. Yeah. They start acting like a wave and it's over.
Schrodingus's dad, yeah.
They're at a carnival. He goes to put his son on a little carousel and is like walking along the carousel, which none of this is how a carousel works. There's like a whole little rope off thing and you walk up at a queue and then you dump the kid off and they're fully roped off and people can't engage with the carousel when it's moving other than the people who are riding on it. Generally, but that's not how this one works. This one, he just plops a child up on the horse and then's like is walking with him for a couple steps and then is just like, all right, good luck, kid. Answers his phone.
You know what you can do at smaller carousels, which I've done, which you put the kid on the carousel, they have a little seatbelt thing you put him into, like that goes around like ever, and then you stand on the carousel next to them. Like, you don't have to walk alongside it. You can just be there.
Imagine
you're not hurting anybody.
Imagine if you had to and all the parents are, like, trotting along. So it's just like a bus.
This carousel.
Yeah, it's so just like 12 adults trotting and like lightly jogging in place, yeah, trying to keep up with their children.
It's like how we get our steps in.
You want to talk about a fucking I think you should leave character, the carousel operator who's like, you can't stand next to the horse. It breaks the illusion. Then it's obvious the horse isn't moving to the children. So you either walk alongside or you wait. Otherwise, they know it's bullshit.
It's too small for me. Get on the unicorn.
Oh
no,
God.
You can't sit in the swan. It's for couples. They're in love.
What are you, an idiot? Oh my God. So he walks alongside it for like, I don't know, half a rotation. And then he takes a step away to look at his phone. And I'm not kidding. It literally goes around one time, not even like a full circle. Like, it's just, he goes out of eye shot to the other side of the carousel, the kid does. And by the time it comes back around, that kid is fucking gone. Just absolutely gone.
Yep.
I've seen like less organized teamwork at like the Super Bowl. Like the speed at which they get this kid without being seen is like unreal.
And there's other people on the carousel. It's not an empty carousel. So like there's other people on the carousel who like would see whoever was the abductor like sprinting to the carousel and then yoinking this kid off the carousel and then running off. But that is apparently not what happened. Someone masterfully, like, just made this kid disappear into the back rooms or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they treat it like this is somehow John's fault for looking at his phone for, like, 1 millisecond while his kid's on a ride where, frankly, I don't have children.
Yeah.
But if they were on a ride, I would assume they weren't going to get kidnapped because who would kidnap a child off a moving ride?
In public, in the middle of the day, at a carnival. Yeah, pretty wild.
They can have my kid at that point. If they pull that off, they can keep him.
They got him.
Yeah, they win.
They want this kid more than I do.
Better player one.
They'll give them back. Nobody's got, like, such a good kid that you spend thousands of dollars on this, like, coordinated effort. You're like, this kid's a pain in the ass. Never mind. You know, like, get out of here.
So true. Oh, not this one, though. And then that was all of the flashback so that we know that I guess that John's the one to blame for his son going missing, even though there is honestly, quite literally there. Even if John had his little peepers glued to that carousel, I don't think that would have changed the outcome, given how quickly it happened.
No, there would be a point where the kid would like see a squirrel and would like run off after the squirrel and be behind a tree for like a tenth of a second. And fucking David Bowie as the Goblin King would have whisked them away like as soon as the child fell in shadow. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do, man?
You know, and the thing is, like, this is supposed to create the rift between John and his wife, right? But, like, this is also, it's a really common thing. Like, you don't need all this that, like, if couples who, like, lose a kid, they kind of, like, get divorced or, like, drift apart anyway because it's, like, too painful. Like, you don't need this whole, like, also, I blame you for not, like, watching that carousel like a hawk or taking a phone. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need this, but we have it.
Yeah.
So it's here. And we have to deal with it.
Grief is complicated, and we're too stupid to do it in a smart way. So it means that there's no way to rectify this marriage. But yeah, that's the flashback we get. And now it's present day. And he's like, hey, I'm sitting at the table, and my wife is pacing around, very upset that our daughter has just seen two people that were murdered. And he's like, hey, don't worry. I'm going to get an armed guard to hang out with you and our daughter at all times. That's going to fix this. I feel like if you're at that point, you get taken off the case, but I don't know that much about being a detective. I feel like if you're family's
neither does
being,
John. Don't worry.
Yeah, neither does John, frankly. I'm not sure how John got this job. And his wife is like way more upset about this than he is, which I guess is valid
because
he did bring their kid to a crime scene. But like at the same time, he was being tricked by not Jigsaw, but still. And she's like, hey, can I get a gun? And he's like, no, I'm just going to leave. What? That's safer. And I'm like, I think those two things aren't related at all, actually. I think she can still get a gun even if you leave. But alas. And then she's like, then they try to have their little like emotionally charged moment where she's like, the worst part is I secretly kind of want you to leave, but I also love you so much. And I just want you to know I'm not mad at you for letting our daughter wander onto a crime scene and also being the reason we lost our son. But the thing that I am mad at you for is that you look a lot like our kid. And I'm like, he doesn't, though.
And also, which is why I couldn't talk to you on the phone before, but right, sure.
You look and sound like our three-year-old son that got abducted. Our three-year-old son who looks like a vampire before he gets taken, just to be clear. Mm. He has like really pure white blonde hair.
Gold mullet.
Yeah, does not at all look like John, even a little bit.
And vampires, who I can remind you, don't have super speed or flight or anything. They're just fucking people.
Vampires in the same way that like mall goths who say they like drinking blood are vampires. Like pretty much that's the extent of it. Or like as much of a vampire as that guy in real life who's like infusing himself with his son's blood to stay young forever or whatever.
Yeah.
As much of a vampire as that guy is a vampire. But we have not been at the hotel in 5 minutes, so it's time to go back. And oh yay, we get to tie together this season in season one. Yay! Because Marcy, the character that we all love, I know everybody is like, whoa, Marcy from season one? Yeah, Marcy from season one is here. You know, the realtor.
I've been wondering what happened to the racist real estate agent. The thing everyone says.
The racist news, and kind of homophobic real estate agent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That racist and kind of homophobic real estate agent you like is coming back in style. It's good stuff.
I'm so happy, finally. And she's here. And it's
I'm
the
sorry,
same
I'm
lady.
Imagining it in my head. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
But
I know it's just so exciting, and she's here, and that means that she sells all of these properties, TM, which is crazy. She simultaneously has like the best job and the worst job in the world because she gets to like sell these insanely expensive properties, but all of them are haunted, and I don't understand why she keeps like. Does she pick them? Is she doing it on purpose? I don't know. But she's here and she's selling it to a new main character that just dropped. We have a new main character, everybody. And his name is Will Drake, which I confused with the character Nathan Drake at first. And I was like, wow, they just picked that guy's name, huh? But no, it's Will Drake. And he's played by Cheyenne Jackson. And this is the first season that Cheyenne Jackson is in, like, chronologically. But later on, he plays the weird, shitty producer in Roanoke. And then later, the psychiatrist that treats Allie in Cult. But this is where he started in American Horror Story. So they put him in this, and they were like, he's good enough to keep him on the cast. And he stays. Now... consequentially, he has a kid with him who's like probably 12 or 13, and his name is Lachlan, because none of the children in this show can have a normal name. Every like adult character is a Mike, a Steve, a Bob, or like a Joe or a John. All of the children are like Lachlan, Roman, like something insane.
Permanthi.
Something insane. Osmandius. Something insane. Yeah. So Lachlan is his kid, and that kid is played by Lyric Angel, Ashley Parker Angel's child. Is that really relevant? No, I just think it's really funny. And then Marcy starts hashtag venting to them like immediately about having to put her dog down that day, and then how he got her through unfortunate circumstances, which has nothing to do with anything. I just think it's very strange that she's trauma dumping on two people that she's selling a hotel to. Not like great practice, I don't think.
I don't think like home realtors also sell like hotels. Like, I don't know for sure, but I really don't feel like they do.
Yeah, I feel like hotels are more like businesses.
Commercial. Commercial real estate.
Doing extended commercial real estate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, typically. Yeah. Typically are different firms, even. Real estate firms.
Yeah.
But not her.
I don't assume that, like, if I were buying something from the Hilton, it wouldn't be like, yeah, just like a guy.
And, like, Marcy, yeah. Like, she wasn't like a big time real estate. She's trying to sell this haunted house and, like, scam people by not telling them about all the deaths in it. You know, this doesn't. Whatever. It doesn't track, but...
who knows? It doesn't explain it either.
I give up halfway through pointing these things out because I almost just feel like, God, this all just sucks so bad. Like, I can't even go on, but... Right. Will Drake's... Right.
He's rich, yeah, and he's buying the hotel. And Iris and Liz are like, hey, wait, what? What's going on? You guys are buying the hotel? What's that about? And we're also like, yeah, what's that about? And then they kind of ignore Iris and Liz Taylor. And Iris and Liz Taylor are talking to each other. And they're like, we're going to get turned out onto the streets. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it works when you work at an establishment. I don't think you get kicked out of it and make it. They don't make you live outside. Because usually you don't live at the place you work.
In the place you work, yeah.
So it's weird that they would have us hear this from these characters, given that we have such limited information. And then Marcy takes Will and his son up to the penthouse where they're going to be living, I guess. And Donovan is asleep naked on the couch. I guess she didn't know someone lived there or didn't think to call them to tell them.
This is insane, though. Like, you know what I mean? You just went to show it? Like, you didn't even check, like, if anyone's renting it or anything or ask the front desk? Like,
he's
that's, like, a thing
it.
You want to be sure,
According
right?
to her, they've already bought it. And they're just, like, looking at what they've bought, which means that, did they not know that the people lived there?
The walkthrough? Like, a walkthrough? Are you kidding? For a hotel? What the fuck? All right. Okay,
yeah,
sure.
A phone call probably would have been nice.
I just like to dump, you know, $4 million on a project blind and, like, hope it shakes out, you know, normal businessman stuff.
Yeah, you know, prime real estate in, like, Los Angeles, you know, just like, all right, I'll look at it after. It's okay, you know.
Yeah. Donovan's, like, not thrilled about having someone walk in on him sleeping naked on the couch, which honestly, like, fair. Kind of seems like Marcy didn't call before they showed up or, like, let them know that they had sold the hotel. And he storms off to go find Lady Gaga. And then Lady Gaga tells Will that she loves the dress that he made for Michelle Obama, which means that Lady Gaga recognizes him and that he's a very famous and wealthy fashion designer. And she offers him a beverage, like an alcoholic beverage, and he says he's on a cleanse. And she says, not anymore. And he's like, damn, she's good, and takes the alcoholic beverage. And I'm like, what is this interaction between these two characters? Now things are going to get weird in, like, a new and inventive way. So Lachlan, who is, again, like, 12 maybe, kind of meanders off and touches a mirror. And Will's like, hey, fingerprints are hard to get off. And I'm like, that's an insane thing to say to a child. normal human conversation, I guess. And then Lady Gaga follows that up by saying, messes are always forgiven the first time. And I'm like, that also is an insane thing to say to a child. What is this set? Like, what is this set of dialogue happening right now? And what does it mean? What does it even mean? It's not, she's like saying
Lady Gaga
flirtily.
As a vampire, she has mercy, but only once for each child. This is character building.
Yeah.
She's not a monster. She won't kill a child the first time they touch her mirror.
Yeah.
The second, though.
You get to make one mess, and then I kill you. And I'm like, well, is that his mess? That he touched one finger to a mirror? That's fucked up. That's like a real shitty way to... That's like wasting your wish on a genie. Like, this sucks. This kid got really screwed out of his one mess.
You're thinking like if you make like one really big cool mess, that still she has to give you a pass on that. If you like really fuck it up one time, she has to be like, well, everyone gets one.
Yeah. If I knew that those were the rules, I'd make the biggest mess possible. I would like flood one of the floors and make it into a big slip and
mess
slide.
Mess maxing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And like, you know, you have a good point in the notes here because like in this season, I actually do I do like Lady Gaga as like a sort of a Dracula-esque role or Elizabeth Barkley. You know what I mean? Like. And so she's usually pretty good at this, but yeah, there is this sort of notion like, is this flirting? Like this messes are always forgiven thing, which like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what she's doing here. She's totally baffled me, but.
Yeah, it like reads as flirting, but like they're both talking like passively at slash about the child. So like, it's not yeah. like flirting to the guy, to Will. I don't know. It's very strange. Yeah. And then Will's like bitching and moaning and he's like, yeah, we moved here because New York is too normy now. And then Donovan's like, that sucks shit, I guess. I don't care. I don't want to get kicked out of the place I live. And then Lady Gaga's like, why don't you go take Will to go look at this like fancy sculpture by a famous person? I'm going to hang out with his kid. And then Will's like, that sounds good and normal. I think it's cool that you want to hang out with my kid.
Okay, strange European who threatened my child kind of wants. You got it.
Yeah. Have fun with my kid. I'm sure nothing bad will happen. Nothing bad does happen. Unlike that other guy's kid who was out of frame for 1 second and immediately got zapped. And then Lachlan, the kid, is like, hey, Lady Gaga, people don't live in hotels. And I'm like, they do sometimes, actually. And then yeah. Lady Gaga's like, yeah, well, this is special. Anyway, you want to go to the basement? And then Lachlan goes with her to the basement. And then while they're in the basement, she's like, hey, I want to get to know you. And he's like, I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. And I'm like, I feel like you missed the more important step of stranger yeah. danger, which is yeah. believing
don't
the
be
stranger.
Abducted.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be yeah. abducted by the stranger, especially don't like willingly be abducted. Don't like go vibe with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid takes everything extremely literally. So when his parents were like, don't talk to strangers, he retained that as the only important part of stranger danger. You can leave with the stranger, just don't talk to them. Give them no information. Under no circumstances are you to give them information. And then she takes him to the little lad room that has the big stained glass wall windows that are playing yeah. arcade games and have candy dispensers. Yay. Yeah.
Yippee. Yeah. It's like stained glass window framing as well. It's not a rectangle, which is like nightmare for playing this stuff. It's also like a weird version of Tetris with like way too many hold slots and stuff.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, three pieces that just change as soon as you block drop a piece. Like it doesn't follow anything. Like it's nonsense.
Yeah.
But
They're also playing on like little like Atari joysticks with nothing else. And by they're playing, I mean there's like two little babies slapping at a joystick for five screens total. So who knows?
Yeah, it looks cool though. And the little kid, that other guy's kid, Holden, is there, and Lady Gaga talks to that kid only, and is like, "You gotta say hi to our new friend." And I'm like, "Is that kid like the dead?" There's a bunch of little blonde vampire kids in there, but she makes that kid specifically talk to Lachlan, and she's like, "You're our designated person greeter, small 2-year-old, 3-year-old child. You have to be nice to the new kids that come in." And that kid does not say anything in response because he is like 3 years old. And then elsewhere in the lobby, Donovan comes back down. We find out through context clues that he's Iris's son and she only stays at the hotel and works there to see him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we get the most upsetting flashback of the show so far, which is a flashback to 1994. And Iris is outside of the hotel watching Sally. Yeah, you guessed it. Hypodermic Sally leading Donovan into the hotel. At this point, I just want to say the fact that she let Sally lead him into the hotel, this is Iris's fault. This whole next sequence is Iris's fault because she lets this happen and then runs into the most Looney Tunes ass sequence of like hesitations and things that holds her up from stopping the bad thing from happening when she could have just stopped them outside, confronted them outside so that they didn't go into the hotel. But she doesn't. She watches like a little creep. And she goes inside after they go inside, and they've already gone to a room. So she has to go up to the front desk and is like, hey, Liz Taylor, lady I don't know, can you tell me where those two people went? Because they're about to go do drugs. And Liz Taylor's like, we don't do that unless you bribe me. And then and then Iris is like, here's money. And Liz Taylor's like, that's not enough money. And then she goes, okay, where is an ATM? And Liz Taylor's like, there's one at the pharmacy down the street. And then that scene ends. And I'm like, that all could have been avoided. This weird Looney Tunes situation could have just been avoided if you had stopped them outside where you saw them. And anyway, Sally and Donovan are in a hotel room doing heroin. And he wants a fresh needle. And she's like, I'm the cleanest person you know. And I'm like, I don't do that kind of drug. I never have. But if I did and someone said that, I would be like, kind of seems like maybe you aren't, because I don't think people that are say that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If someone instead of saying, yeah, I got you a clean needle, they say that, that means they say that all the time, which means they don't use clean needles, etc. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so she drops that heater, and then she's like, I'm going to put my lipstick on wrong in the mirror. That is my character trait. And she will do this through the whole series. And she puts her lipstick on real badly. And then Iris is like banging on the door as Donovan is doing the heroin on the bed, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She barges in the room and like, What did you give him, you know, because he's like he's overdosing. She's like, China White, you know, and she's like really aloof about it. And Sally's like, yeah, well, couldn't handle his shit, whatever, you know. And then Iris is like grieving her like overdosing son. And Sally just kind of struts away. And and Iris, to her credit, does, I think, what anybody would do, and just throws her out a fucking window, like Sally, which I'm like, you know what, fair. But like, to be fair, too, Sally kind of pauses in front of a window. So, you know, kind of opened herself up for attack here, and Iris pushes her out. She falls out the window, lands on her back, but as you point out, then the close-up shot, she's on her stomach, and then, you know what? How else do you end an episode of American Horror Story Hotel except for playing the song Hotel California, which is like, I can't fucking believe you just did that, American Horror Story. Even for you, that's low.
Yeah, brother!
Yes,
this is what we do it for. This is what we're here for, baby.
Get it? It's a hotel in California that you can never leave.
And you can't leave. Can't leave it. Oh, my God.
This is so smart. Yeah. Holy shit. This is so just smart.
Just like the Eagles. Yeah. It's so sick.
This is so cool.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
So do you think this is like entirely what they built this around?
Yes.
Do you think like they said, imagine if there was a Hotel California and it was like all the bad stuff in California in one hotel?
Yeah.
Also, like,
I think I said in our first episode that my theory for why this whole season exists is I think when they were doing season one, which is also set in California, somebody who was not affiliated with like the show, like a spouse of one of the writers or something, passively was like, oh, like Hotel California, when they were describing the murder house from season one. And then they like furiously scribbled that down and were like, we got it. We write it in there. We're new season. Hotel. Like underlining it. Yeah. I fully believe that's where this season came from. And Hotel California is playing, and I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it plays in a lot of the episodes. I think it's the twisted nerve of this season, which I guess to their credit, and
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I think it's based.
I'm being extremely generous. At least it makes more sense than Twisted Nerve.
Yeah.
Twisted Nerve was
just like annoying to me because it felt like they were trying to like borrow the tension or the cachet of like another piece of media, right? Whereas this is just like, yeah, they're doing Hotel California. Fuck yeah, brother, you stupid assholes. You didn't think any farther than that. Let's go. And it's like really dumb in a way I can appreciate.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's funny and good. Like, not for the reason they think it's funny and good. They don't think it's funny. They think it's sick as hell, I'm sure. I think it's funny. I think it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
And the closing scene of the episode, well, it's not even the closing scene yet. There's one more scene of the flashback where Iris goes back into the room after she's killed Sally. And Lady Gaga is in the room cradling her son's dead body. And she says, your son has a jawline for days. And Iris, who just killed a woman, does not immediately deck Lady Gaga in the face for holding her dead son and saying that weird shit, TM.
Imagine, yeah, you're grieving over your kid, just like, by the way, this dead kid's hot as hell. Like, you know, go fuck yourself. Like, you're going after, you're good going bones. After Sally.
Yeah.
Nice bones. Nice bones on this one. Good shit.
And then that's the end of the flashback, but back in the present day.
I love
day.
Your dead gay son.
Yeah, I love your dead gay son, just like Heather's. It's the present again, and John is like, I'm gonna leave my family to protect them from the killer, and I'm gonna check into the hotel where the killer told me to go. There is no reason why John would do this. Just real
it's method acting, but for detectives.
That guy wasn't even there when he went there. That guy lied to him. He wasn't even there when John got there. He has no reason to go back to this hotel, but John's like, you know what would be good is for me to interfere with this investigation by staying at the place that is a crime scene. He gets put in room 64. Oh, no. And then as he's sitting down on the bed, it ends with the lyric, you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
You can never leave. Yeah, it sucks, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, buddy. This is that shit. I'm so excited for this season. It's got like maybe two of my favorite things, which is one, Lady Gaga acting. Love that. Love that. Love every part of that. Mm-hmm. Two, and more importantly, they have a very clear guideline of what they're trying to do, and they're going to stick to that guideline, and everything else is free for all. And that is, it's Hotel California, comma, that's the whole plan. And they're going to do a whole season of TV off that, and I'm hyped, because like, that means to me, they have no plan for the ending. Like, this to me says they don't know what the ending is when they start this series. And that is, frankly, the dream when it comes to American Horror Story.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that might as well be the subtitle of the season. American Horror Story Hotel. Hotel California.
We're just winging it.
Yeah. We're just, parentheses, we're just winging it.
Seat of our pants horror show.
And that's the first episode, baby. It took us 3 episodes to get through it because it was a very long episode and it was full of very dumb stuff. I can only imagine it goes downhill from here.
Yep. Yes, it does. I don't remember. I remember a bunch, but I remember it doesn't get better.
I can't wait.
What is the next episode called? Let me just look real quick here.
Chutes and Ladders, I think.
Let's go.
Chutes and Ladders. You're right. Not even spelled. To their credit, not spelled like Shoots or whatever, you know, but Chutes and Ladders.
Nothing gets my blood pumping more than a deterministic board game. That's yeehaw. Thanks for listening, and I guess we'll see you next time for Chutes and Ladders, Hotel Baby. You can never leave. This is the best season. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yay, later. Bye.
Bye.